All right, welcome back to another episode of Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. It's your main man, Ken Clark. And man, we've been having a blast with some of these interviews, man. We had some of the JSU football Tigers on, and today ain't no different. You know, we continue in that wave. We got a special guest joining us today, DB safety, John Huggins. What's up? What's going on, brother? Welcome
Not
to Tiger
much,
Talk.
Man. Glad to be on here. I've been watching the show, so I look forward to it.
Yeah, man, we had to get you on, man. We, you know, we take questions from our listeners and those that tap in, and they requested you, man. So, you know, I had to come and see if you can come on the show, and we appreciate you for blessing us with your presence.
Appreciate you, man.
How's everything going with
everything
you, though?
Everything's going well, man. Just looking forward coming into my last year. Just trying to leave it all out there, man. I know I left couple plays out there last year, and I feel like I could have did better in some areas. So just cleaning it up and getting ready for this big season.
There it is, man. Well, you jump right into it. So we'll pull a little bit more meat off the bone when it comes to that. I know you guys have been having a pretty action-packed, you know, off season, man. Camp getting ready to start, man. So I know you're ready to get rolling. When you guys get going?
I think we start Friday, man. I think we got a conditioning test Friday, and then the ball starts rolling on Monday. And then, you know, all eyes on FAMU, so ready for that game, man.
There it is. So before we jump into all the, you know, the good stuff, I always like to get the school stuff out of the way. You just mentioned this your last year, so this will be your last football year?
Yeah, I got 2 years of eligibility left, but, yeah, this will be my last football year. Plan on leaving it all out there on the field and leaving the rest in God's hands, man.
Yeah. There you go. So, yeah, got 2 years of eligibility, but you're trying to, like I said, it's your money year, man. I see a lot of that. COVID changed a lot of things with just eligibility and, you know, everyone kind of getting that extra year. I mean, it's cool if you do need it, but I like the mentality that you're going into. You're going in trying to cash in now. Don't want to leave nothing out there. And I want to get a little bit more out of that for our listeners and for those that tuned in and so they can learn a little bit more about you. You kind of like the quiet, just blue-collar DB that just do work, and we wanted to get you on so you can come in and kind of tell your story, man. So when is graduation for you? You getting ready to graduate? Or
yes, I graduated this spring, and I got about 18 more credits left, so it's about 7 more classes, so I'll be done. I'll be done this spring.
Nice, man. So what was your major? I know the NFL, XFL, or even USFL, we know professional football is more than likely
NFL,
the aspiration.
But
talk to us a little bit about your – I know. what's your major, though? We'll get into a little bit of after football. You know, what do you want to do professionally after you get done?
My major is interdisciplinary studies, so it's a mixture of really everything, all kind of studies. And I want to be a college coach, so – I feel like playing football at a high level, it goes hand in hand with also, you know, having a bachelor's degree. And, I that's my ultimate aspiration when football is all said and done.
Now, you got to say that a little slower again for those. Say that one more time.
Interdisciplinary studies.
Interdisciplinary studies. You know, somebody was gonna hear that and say interpersonal skills training or something. You know how we you say one thing and they say something totally different, man. But anyway, let's jump into it, man. So I'll start here with it. I've asked this question to a lot of your teammates. We've had three of your defensive teammates, but you're our third defensive back. But before we even get into, like, the position and stuff and expectations, one of my favorite additions to the staff this offseason was Coach Mo Sims, strength and conditioning coach, coming in from the Georgia Bulldogs, national championship winning Georgia Bulldogs. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, what he's brought to the table and maybe how things have changed for you guys in the offseason conditioning as you get geared up for this 2022
Man,
season.
Man, he's been big. He's been big in regards to – our body, developing our body and being in shape, being ready for this season. I mean, he has a dog mindset. So I feel like we can incorporate that dog mentality into on the field and off the field, and especially in the weight room. I mean, ain't no joking around in the weight room with him. I mean, he's all about business. So it's been a good addition. It's been a good addition.
We saw something. I mentioned this to Devontae Davis. We had him on the show not too long ago. We saw you guys out there running that vet, man. I hadn't seen that in a while. And I want to get your take on it, man. What, how the bet is
Hey.
big, man. For those that don't know, we play in the vet. Talk to us about, man, how it felt to run up and
It
down
was
them
tough.
stairs,
I ain't
man.
gonna lie, it was tough. I mean, it'd be hot out there, it'd be about 95 degrees on a good day. So, I mean, it was tough, but it's all good work, man. All work is good work. So, I mean, I'm glad that he came and he's a part of our staff, and I'm ready to get the thing rolling, man.
There it is. There it is. So as for you, you know, you participated in junior, you know, in the junior pro day on campus earlier this year. Tell us about your experience and how that went for you.
Ultimately, I feel like I made the best decision that I could have made and participating in that junior pro day. I got to run in front of guys, and they got to see how I look and see how I can run and see how I can perform, and I feel like they liked what they saw. So it was really beneficial towards me and my future.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, word on the street was, man, you turned some heads. Now that's why I had to ask you about it. You know, what's that 40 time look like? I want to confirm that, you know, some of these rumors we've been hearing is true, man. Tell us what you ran in the
I clocked
40,
out
man.
a
Come on now.
4.38. 4.38, man.
Woo. 4.38. Is that your fastest
Fastest
time you've ever
time.
run before, or is it
Fastest
you
time I
seen
ever
better?
ran, but I want to run
Oh my goodness, man. Hey, you know, so what was it like, you know, with you, you know, playing with your former teammate from the Florida Gators, man, James Houston, who just got drafted. He's our 100 draft pick, man. You know, speaking of your NFL junior pro day, and what you hope to have gotten from it, talk to us about what James Houston getting drafted this past season meant to you and what
I
your
mean, that was big,
expectations are.
not only for us, but for HBCUs. I mean, when James was in the portal, I had told the coaches about him, and I was really pushing for him. He's a great guy. All he needed was a shot. I feel like at Florida, he didn't get the shot that he deserved. And when he came here, and we brought him in, and the rest is history. And man, he took control on the field. I mean, he's a powerful guy. He's all about work too. So I feel like that's my guy right there. But man, he's a great dude, man. That's all I can say. All the work he's put in. I know his family's really strong and behind him, and he got everything he deserved. And not only for us, but HBCUs in general. He set the standard, and I feel like there are going to be a lot of guys coming in the next couple of drafts. So he set the standard for not only us, but everybody.
There it is, man. He was one of four that was selected, and some of the things that you said, I kind of want to get your take. I know word was James was not just on the field doing his thing, but he was the best that stood out at Detroit Lions camp. That was huge, man. I just love that sound bite. And for someone like you that's been teammates in both places, and you know him on a more personal, in-depth, and teammate level, you know, when you hear something like that, is that how does
I
that
mean,
make you feel, you know, when you hear
that
something about
motivates
like
me to
that?
the fullest. I mean, just knowing that it can be done. I mean, and it will be done. Just to see it from eye to eye, just to start from somewhere, and to see him grow and how he grew up, not only as a player, but as a man. I mean, that's my guy. That'll always be forever my guy, and I'll always hold it down. And it's truly motivating, honestly.
Yeah. Now you mentioned when he was in the portal. Let me ask you this. So you had already committed prior to that, because I know he kind of came in late. I think James came around almost like July, man, when he finally joined the team, man. It was like in almost late middle of the summer. And were you already with the team and everything and had been on campus and enrolled
So
when
I
you reached out
think
to the coaches?
he came and visited about, I want to say, a week and a half or maybe 2 weeks into me being on campus. And then once he came to visit, it was at one of them camps where all our coaches was out there, and it was one of them big camps where it was a bunch of NFL guys that came back, like Tyrann Mathieu, DeMario Davis, a couple other guys too. So they gave him their knowledge too to the game, and I feel like that all played a part in for him making the decision to choose us, and that played a big role. And also him being able to see campus and get a feel for our coaches and get a feel for the culture. I think that's what really sold him.
Right. I'll say this because a little off the cuff. One more question about James, because this is one of the things I kind of want to get your perspective on. He was, you know, He was a stand-up linebacker, middle linebacker, actually. And I went from watching him play in the SEC championship game, eight tackles, you know, against, you know, I'm rooting for my, you know, at the time, Alabama, you know, Crimson Tide, you know. And I remembered him. I remember 41. But when he got to Jackson State, the coaches saw a gift in him. And they moved him to edge rusher, and that's how he got drafted. So did he did you guys have any conversations about his resistance to go from linebacker to defensive end? Did y'all have any conversations about that?
At first, he didn't like it. He wasn't too comfortable about, you know, being up in the line of scrimmage. But after a while, I feel like he noticed his potential, and I feel like he noticed what he could really do at that position. So he knew he could excel at that position. So I feel like he just, you know, fell with it and felt comfortable. Went comfortable, started getting comfortable in that position. So. Yes, sir.
Well, good stuff, man. We're moving right along. Killer Cam, man, came on the show, man. One of your fellow DB teammates. You know, he had a – yeah, man, that's one of – he one of my favorites on the team, man. Sure. Great personality. He made a statement, man, in regard to, you know, we were talking about just, you know, high-caliber guys like yourself coming in and choosing HBCUs and transferring. But he kind of made a comment and said, man, some of these transfer come in, man, they getting dogged at Purdue. I wanted to talk, but what I wanted to kind of talk to you about was we wanted to talk about, you know, is there a gap? Do you feel like there's a gap? Not saying that we're ready to compete in the SEC. You got, you know, speaking of SEC, you got some guys coming in from big Power Five conferences like the SEC and other conferences. How far do you, would you feel like there's a big gap from where you guys are or as opposed to, you playing in Florida, now being at Jackson State, speak to us and give us some perspective on what you saw at like a Florida practice versus what you're seeing now.
Honestly, I feel like our practices and their practices really are really not, I wouldn't say the same, but a lot of similarities in some ways. Really the tempo and the speed and how we go about things, the seriousness of how we go about things, that's all the same. But I feel like what Coach Prime said, he hit it on the head with when it comes to the big guys up front. I mean, normally you see when you play in the SEC, you got some 6'7", 6'8", 320-pound old linemen, which is more – you see it more on a frequent basis rather than when you come here. I mean, you got some prototypical guys, bigger guys too, mm-hmm. but you don't see it on that type of level each and every Saturday. But I feel like that's the main thing. That's the main difference. Yeah. But honestly, I mean, it's still good football. We're still playing – at a high level, and with all of all the exposure and everything that's going on with HBCUs, I feel like it's going to get to that point where it's not going to be no fall off, and we're going to have big guys in the middle, and it's going to be
right.
Hey, the best football team's going to win each and every Saturday. So,
100%. Absolutely, man. I mean, I'll jump right into this. You made a good point, and this is something that we've talked about in a lot of like media spaces. We talked about it on Twitter and social media. We've kind of thrown this word around, kind of the word renaissance. We feel like this is an HBCU renaissance. You know, we feel like we got a lot of top high school kids, you know, that are choosing HBCUs, a lot of top tier JUCO, as well as some FBS and Power Five transfers that are coming to HBCUs. And now that you're seeing that happening more frequently. Now, it's Tiger Talk, and we're not going to sugarcoat it. We know where it kind of started at. And I know a lot of people don't really want to say, you know, Jackson State started it. But Coach Prime is a big figure that came to this space, and he has really, I would say, skyrocketed the recruitment across 100%. The board. You know, have you had a chance to really, like, look out and see what's kind of transpiring around you? We've had a lot of teams within the conference that have probably had the best recruiting classes that they've seen in I would say decades, man. So what is your take on kind of like this HBCU renaissance in the trajectory? Mm-hmm. I know you spoke to it, but give us a little bit more context on
I mean, honestly, I feel like HBCU football is only going to get bigger each and every year only because we're getting more exposure. We're playing on ESPN week in and week out. And I mean, who wouldn't want to play on ESPN and who wouldn't want to be, you know, playing in front of, not only their family, but I mean, also their friends can come and watch and watch them at home. So, I mean, who wouldn't want to be a part of something special?
Yeah, I mean, as for Jackson State, we You know, this is something I was going to ask you a little later on in this interview, but since you mentioned that, we got 10 games scheduled to be on TV. I say 11 for the season because when you factor in the one game that wasn't listed with Tennessee State, Southern Heritage Classic in Memphis, I think that game with Coach Eddie George and his staff and what they've done in the offseason, that game's going to be on TV too. So 11 games that are going to be on the network where we can, you know, consume, I want to say, 8 ESPN games and two with HBCU Go and wherever the Tennessee State game. I mean, that speaks to the magnitude of I would say, the demand of HBCU football. So now you get to go out there every Saturday knowing that you're going to have a lot of eyes, not only in the stands, but you're also going to have a lot of eyes watching nationally because everybody's tuning in to Jackson State. So when you put that uniform on this year, man, how does that make you feel? Even in comparison to kind of where you come from, you know,
I
coming
mean,
from Florida.
honestly, I view Jackson State as big of a brand as anybody. We like you said, we play on ESPN week in and week out, and it's only motivating, honestly. I mean, I want to feed my family at the end of the day, so it has to be done.
There it is. There it is. Now, here we go. So, you know, recently we saw your name listed, you know, on the Reese's Senior Bowl watch, and I thought that was huge, man, because that's I'll go out on a limb and say this, because you know we you know I don't mind whenever there's someone that can, I'll say it this way, when you have those that may represent Jim Nagy, i.e., the one that represents the Senior Bowl. Last year, I felt like James Houston and some of the others. Antoine Owens, I felt like we had more than enough players that were capable of making that list. And he kind of came back with a statement saying, you know, well, whenever, you know, Coach Prime, he'll develop some players that'll be on this list. You fast forward, there's two names on that list, yourself, Mark Pope. I thought that was huge, man, to see your name on that list. I wanted to get your take on that when you saw it and what your thoughts about that and kind of
It made me
how
feel
that made
great,
you feel.
honestly, that my work isn't being unnoticed. But also at the same time, I can't be too big on it because it's not no invite yet. It's just a watch list. So at the same time, I know I gotta do what I have to do on the field to make sure I am in that ball game. So I just gotta handle my business, and it'll all
Right.
happen. It'll all fall in place.
There it is. I'll say this, man. I think just in order to make the list, you gotta it, in order to make the team, you gotta at least be looked at. So I think half the battle is there. Like you said, the rest is how you go out and perform this season. And I think, man, you guys are primed for a phenomenal 2022 campaign, man. So moving right along. One thing I did want to get your take on, you know, 2021 though was a historic year for Jackson State football. You know, we finished 11-2, won a SWAC championship, first SWAC championship since 2007. How does it, in your own words, give me your take on? I'll say it this way: we won the SWAC championship, but we came up a little short in the Celebration Bowl in Atlanta. What's your thoughts on the season and how you guys finished that year, that
Ultimately,
season?
overall, I feel like we took a huge step forward. But I mean, we would have loved to finish on the high note, but which didn't get done. But it was a huge step in the right direction, I could say. It was just a stepping stone to a dynasty that's getting ready to be created. Starting now.
I like that. I like that. I mean, you swept the SWAC. So, you know, I know we get a lot of flack from some of our SWAC compadres. It's a lot of love, man. You know, a lot of love, but on Saturday, man, it's all Jackson State, man. You know, but you know, so probably an obvious question. I'll ask you this. What are your expectations for this
Be Cricket Bowl
2022 season?
champs. Be Cricket Bowl champs. Those are my expectations. Get drafted and to have a phenomenal season. I'll leave it all out there on the field. Just be there with my teammates, have fun, enjoy this game, and leave my mark. That's my expectations.
Love it, man. Love it. You know, now, so your position is listed as safety, right? So is that strong safety, free
Safety,
safety,
honestly,
safety,
DB,
DB,
you can say
whatever.
DB.
Yeah, I see you. You know, you've lined up in the nickel sometimes, man. And we've even toyed around when we've done kind of like some of our position breakdowns. We like, man, John, with his size, he can kind of move up into that hybrid linebacker position. We had some fun with it. But in your own words, tell us, you know, what where you feel most comfortable on defense when you're playing on the
Honestly,
field.
I feel like what sets me apart is my versatility, like you said. I feel like I can line up anywhere on the field, like you said, in the nickel, at linebacker, at safety. I mean, overall, I feel most comfortable at safety, as you can say right now. But I'm also comfortable at linebacker. I mean, I can play a little bit of nickel. I can do a little bit of everything, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, you. I don't know if you're gonna get. You might be lining up with some wide receivers, man, with that 4-3 speed. I mean, that's cool, man. I like it. You know, but speaking of like safety, like I said, we had your two previous DB teammates. We had Isaiah Bolden, we had Cameron, Killer Cam on the show. But you guys added, you know, a lot more depth to the DB room. You know, we brought in Travis Hunter, obviously, number one player in high school. We brought in Greg Great, Jalen Hughes, Jalen Alexander, and the list goes on and on, right? So talk to us about the competitiveness that exists within that position room, you know, because we don't know how Coach Thurman is going to play it. We don't know if we're going to go five DBs. We don't know if we're going to go four line. You know what I'm saying? Talk about the competition right now. I know camp hadn't started, but you see, you look around that room and you see what's in there. You know what you got to do to get on that field, man. So speak to us a little bit about, from your perspective, how the DB room is.
Man, it's a heck of a room, I can say the least. I mean, we got some shutdown corners, some safeties that are smart, that can do it all. I mean, I feel like every one of our DBs can play every one of the positions on the field at DB. But honestly, it's a lot of grit. I mean, I feel like we know what we're capable of, and I mean, we're the best DB group in the country, so I'm gonna just leave it at that.
I like it. I call them DBU. You know, you guys are DBU to me. You know, and it's gonna be that way until somebody prove me wrong. You know, so you got to make sure you support my claim, brother. You know, I don't have me out here looking crazy, and I'm just teasing. But how did it feel when you guys landed Travis, man? You know, you see that. I know what I felt when I first saw it. You know, number one player in the country, five star. I mean, you bring someone in like that. Talk about how you've seen him kind of come in and what it's been like playing with someone of I wouldn't say necessarily that caliber, but we've heard Coach Prime talk about his work ethic. I've seen the teammates talk about how he's handled business. In your own words, since he's a part of that DB room that you a part of, give us your perspective on
man, he's
Travis.
He's a grown man, an 18-year-old body. He handles business. He handles business, I can say the least. I mean, he's always first in line. He's always asking questions. And all I can say is he handles business. He does truly that. And I appreciate – oh, my bad. He handles business.
No, you good.
Man.
I see.
He goes into work with the right mindset, you know, to get better each and every day. And he leads by example. I mean, he's gonna be one to watch for the years to come for sure.
There it is, man. So speaking of DBs, though, how is it that your position coach and your head coach are two, I would say, had two storied NFL careers? You know, I know Coach Mathis was a phenomenal defensive back in the NFL, and then your head coach being probably the greatest, not just DB,
ever,
but probably
ever.
The greatest athlete we've ever seen, man. How is it playing for – yeah, man. How is it playing for those two coaches?
I wouldn't want to play for anybody else. I mean, Coach Mathis, he's a guy that's going to get the most out of you each and every day from the film room to the field, putting in extra work, putting in extra time to the game. He's big on that. And through the X's and O's, I feel like my game has developed a lot from him just putting in the extra time with me and spending them days in the film room. I've been coming in after a lot over the summer. So I feel like that's why my game has been truly on an uptrend. And Coach Prime, I mean, he's one of a kind, man. He's changing the game, honestly. I wouldn't want to play for no one else.
Yeah. I love it, man. But speaking of NFL, man, we always like to ask players about player comps. Are there any players that you have, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily favorite, but that you pattern your game after? I got a couple of players in mind for me, but I want to kind of get your take on
Big Derwin James fan, honestly. Big Derwin fan. Big Derwin.
Ooh.
I mean,
Okay.
I like Jabril. I like Jabril. I like Jabril. I like Jabril, but I'm a big Durant fan. Just the way from his mentality coming into the game, he got a dog mentality. He's always coming to work, and that's why he's about to be the highest paid safety in the game. Just he can do it all. He can cover tight ends, he can cover slots, he can
That's
come off the
facts.
edge, he can play end, he can play linebacker. I mean, he's versatile, and that's only gonna help your game.
I mean, you went all the way to the top on that one. I think Derwin James is probably
Sure.
the arguably the best safety in the game, man. If you not, you know, I mean, I don't think we had to add much to that. I agree. When it's time to cut the check, man, we gonna get one of them Bleacher Report
Sure.
ESPN alerts on that one, man. You right on that one. But anyway, we about to write we right at a month away from the Orange Blossom Classic. All right, so I had to save this as we was getting because I know you're a Florida kid, man. You getting ready to go back to Miami, getting ready to go back to the OBC. Now, last year we won that game 7-6, and I feel like because we won that game 7-6, they hung their hat the whole season on the outcome of that game, and many of them felt like if they played us later in the season, they probably could have got us, man. You know, what's your expectations going into this FAMU team who supposedly have gotten better, this Jackson State team that have gotten better, and everybody want to see this game? How you feel about going back to Miami to
Man, it's
play
a
against those
blessing, man.
Rattlers
Always a
from
blessing to
FAMU?
come home, be able to play in front of my family and friends. But honestly, we just can't let the game get too big, bigger than itself. I mean, we know who they are, but at the same time, we know who we are too. And as long as we focus on ourselves, I mean, the game is just gonna handle itself. And I feel like we got enough guys to, shut all that noise up that they got going on.
It's mostly me. You guys handle the business. We banter and have fun on Twitter, but we talk a little smack. In the end, we be in the concession stand, dapping it up, having
Yeah,
fun,
for sure.
exchanging numbers. It's all love in the end. But
Yeah, for sure,
you know,
100%.
we definitely want that win though. But outside of that game, are there any other games maybe you're looking forward to? I know we got was that Bethune-Cookman that'll be back in your home state. We're going to Jacksonville for that game. But are there any other
Honestly,
games that you're looking forward to
just taking it week by week,
playing in this
man. I
season?
mean, you just got to handle business each and every week. And at the end of the day, we'll be back in the Cricket Bowl and fighting for another ring. So I just got to handle it week by week. Yeah,
There it is, man. I thought you was gonna say Southern. I thought you were gonna say Southern. I know you, man. You had that was arguably
Nah, for sure.
statistically your best game down in Baton
Man.
Rouge. That turned out to be a rowdy game, man. Made a game saving, couple
Man.
of game saving tackles, and you know, I think you had your season high in tackles in that game. So I said, man, John, show up in the big
Nah, for
moments,
sure.
man. He was
That
ready.
was a great
I
game,
love
man. That was a hostile game, too.
it. Woo. Yeah, you know they coming, so they travel deep. When they come to Jackson, man. So I told someone
Oh, yeah,
today,
for
I said,
sure.
man, I expect that game honestly to sell out, in my opinion. I think Swag Media Day was just around the corner, and a lot of a lot of the media representation picked their sides. They picked Jack State to win the East, Southern to win the West. I said, I know who'd be happy about that. The Swag would be, because that'll be a big time game, man.
For
So,
sure.
you know, we got to get them again. They was getting us for the past few seasons, but I sat there and watched that game on edge, man. And when we
Man.
pulled it out at the end, I couldn't do nothing but laugh, man. So I appreciate that, brother.
For sure.
I appreciate that. But anywho, man, we're going to get ready to close this out, man. We wanted to get you on, man. I appreciate you for coming on. But before we get out of here, man, so all of our listeners and all of those that are tuned in, drop your social media for all your platforms so they can come and follow you on
For
IG,
sure.
follow
You
you
can
on
follow
Twitter.
me
Show
on
you some love,
Instagram
man.
at JHugg, JHugg06. You can follow me on Twitter at JHuggins_23. And that's really all I'll be on. So you can hit me up on either one.
All right. Well, you heard it, man. Like I said, this Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. We got Big John Huggins on the show today, man. I appreciate you for coming in and giving us a little bit of your time, bro. I all the best to you. I'm definitely rooting for you, and I know you guys are gonna do well, man. So, you know, as always, man, we ended with
Go
a
Tigers,
Go
man. Appreciate the
Tigers.
song.
The I love, man.
For sure. You too.
Yes, sir.